Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Fear, 13 Stories of Suspense and Horror, edited by R.L. Stein. Performed by Peter Ganem, Joshua Swanson, Brian Kennedy, Fred Berman, Caitlin Davies, McLeod Andrews, Elena Erica Davis, Christine Havam, Eileen Stevens, Max Spector, Amanda Ronconi, Oliver Wyman, Rachel Butera, and Kevin T. Collins. Produced by Audible Incorporated.
Introduction by R.L. Stein. Read by Peter Ganem. I wanted to start this book with a scream of horror. That's just the first scream. Don't worry, there will be plenty more. And don't be surprised if you are the one doing the screaming. I love stories with thrills and chills, shocks and twists, and horrifying surprises. If you have opened this book and are reading this introduction, you probably like them too. The people at ITW, the International Thriller Writers, asked me to fill a book with heart-pounding adventures and creepy-crawly mysteries, and I found 13 stories that fill the bill. Lucky 13, right? Well, you'll be lucky if you can make it through these stories without shakes and shudders, chattering teeth, and chills running up and down your back. Take, for example, Ryan Brown's story, Jeepers Peepers. Elizabeth thinks she's going on a normal babysitting job, but why does the baby have to live in total darkness? And why does he keep warning her about mind creepers? Or how about Meg Cabot's fast-paced thriller, The Night Hunter? Nina has a boring job at the mall until she sees a bank being robbed. She should have stayed away, but now she finds herself at the mercy of a mysterious young man known as The Night Hunter. One of my favorites is The Perfects by Jennifer Allison. This story grabbed me with its amazing first sentence. The chances are pretty good that I'm going to be killed before daylight, and I can't help but think this never would have happened if we hadn't moved to Entrails, Michigan. Wow! That made me keep on reading. Heather Graham provides a chilling Halloween story. She's different tonight. Of course, it involves a cemetery late at night. I don't want to give anything away, but there might be a vampire or two lurking among the tombstones. And wait till you meet Su Ling Choi in James Rollins's thrill-a-minute story, Tagger. Su Ling keeps picturing a disaster that destroys her whole city. Can the mysterious Chinese symbols she paints defeat her horrifying visions? I'm not telling. And I'm not going to give away any more secrets of our 13 stories. Lots of thrills and chills await you. I think you should start reading and screaming.
Welcome to the Club by R.L. Stein. Read by Joshua Swanson.
JJ stepped back from the steamy dishwasher, eyes burning. He used his stained apron to wipe sweat off his forehead. His short black hair felt wet, as if he'd just stepped from a hot shower. He pulled the apron over his head, tossed down the dish towel, dried his hands on the legs of his jeans, and started to the open kitchen door. "Taking a 5-minute break." Florian turned and gave him the fisheye.
"Didn't you just take a 5-minute break?"
"Yeah, last night," JJ said.
"Make sure it's only 5 minutes."
Florian raised a hairy arm and made a show of checking his watch. He shook his head and slapped his metal spatula on the fry grill. JJ stepped out onto the gravel parking lot and sucked in a deep breath of cool night air. The air made his hot face tingle. "I hate this restaurant." Well, he didn't hate the restaurant. JJ wasn't afraid of work. He'd had jobs since he was 12, 5 years now. He hated Florian, the fat hairball manager. Hated his blobby face, his stringy brown hair, his pig snout nose, his fat mouth with a brown mole poking off one lip. JJ had known guys like Florian back in Texas. Losers who tried to be big by pushing other losers around. Tough guys always on your case, trying to make you feel smaller than you were. All hat and no cattle. That's what they called blowhards like Florian in Texas. Well, I'm not a loser, JJ thought. But I need this crummy busboy job. Mom is working two jobs and we're just barely getting by. Only time I see her is when she's coming in from one job or heading out to the other. Guess I can put up with Florian for a while. Least he pays in cash. JJ heard a girl laugh. He raised his eyes to the back of the dark parking lot. Those kids from his school were back there again, sitting on the fenders of an old Pontiac GTO, smoking and giggling and goofing around. That seemed to be their nightly hangout. JJ knew they could see him in the light from the open doorway, but they ignored him. They ignored him in school, too, which maybe was a break. At least they weren't smirking at his Texas accent or making fun of his hand-me-down flannel shirts and raggedy jeans. JJ had been the new kid in school lots of times, and it was never a picnic. First time up north, though, and being ignored was definitely a relief. He was good-looking enough. The dark, serious features he inherited from his dad, and the tall, lanky grace he got from his mom. But Fremont High was big, bigger than some of the towns he'd lived in, and so far, no one had looked at him twice. A break. JJ hadn't had too many breaks in his 17 years. His dad lost job after job, moved the three of them from Hicktown to Hicktown. Then last fall he moved them up north and got himself killed in a stupid truck accident. Once JJ got over the shock, he decided it was just one more move in his life, one more fresh start. I just gotta stay out of trouble. Yes, there'd been some trouble back in Texas. Some suspended from school type trouble, and some bad trouble. But who could blame him? Behind him, JJ could hear Florian screaming at Julie, the only waitress.
You weren't born that ugly. You had to grow into it.
Julie isn't ugly, JJ thought. She was plain, but Florian kept insisting if she did herself up nicer, she'd get bigger tips. JJ and Julie both knew that Florian cheated her out of most of her tip money anyway.
Go ahead, drop another glass,
Florian was shouting.
I'll take a dozen glasses out of your pay, and don't backtalk me, girl. Think I don't know who eats all the breakfast Danish? Think that isn't stealing?
He liked to make Julie go all pale and start her chin quivering. Too bad she really needed her job. JJ let out a long sigh. He kicked the gravel with his boot, turned and slumped back into the steamy kitchen.
Where you been? On vacation? Florian snapped. Think I pay for your vacations? Don't give me no looks, punk. I'll smack you down. No lie.
A little before closing time, the kids from the back of the parking lot came ambling into the restaurant. JJ was stacking plates under the counter. He watched them push each other into the blue vinyl booth at the far corner. He recognized the girl, Maria Valdez. He noticed her at school. She was sexy and dark, with straight black hair and lots of black eye makeup. Black fingernails, too. Not a goth. Just trying to be interesting, he guessed. And she was. He also recognized the dude everyone called Boney. He was good-looking in a tough kind of way. Long, wavy hair, a tight smile, steely gray eyes, cold eyes, and a tiny stud in one ear. He dressed tough, too, in black t-shirts with heavy metal band logos and straight-legged black denims, a frayed leather jacket with the word KILLERS in red across the back. JJ saw two other guys he didn't recognize. One of them had his face in a portable game player and was thumbing frantically. The other guy was big, like a football linebacker. He had a Red Sox cap pulled down over his forehead. He was holding the plastic menu upside down, pretending to read it. JJ grabbed a handful of silverware and started to their table. Hi. Maria greeted him with a smile. The others turned to stare at him. We've seen you in school, right?
He's the new kid,
the big dude said. JJ nodded.
Yeah, I'm the new guy. JJ.
Boney narrowed his eyes at him.
JJ? Does that stand for anything?
No,
JJ replied.
Just initials. It's a Texas thing.
Maria leaned close and raised her dark eyes to him.
Can you get us free cokes?
She whispered. He wasn't sure he heard her.
Excuse me? Come on, man, Boney said. No one's watching. Free cokes. You can do it, right?
No,
JJ said. He turned to see where Florian was, probably in back.
I don't think so. I need to keep this job.
Maria put her hand on his. She had a very sexy smile.
You can do it, JJ. It's just cokes.
Julie, get your butt over to that table!
Florian's shout made JJ jump.
Why is the idiot busboy talking to the customers?
Florian yelled. He slapped his fat hands on the counter.
JJ, get back to the kitchen with the other cockroaches.
JJ could feel his face grow hot. He knew he was blushing. Maria laughed. She squeezed his hand. JJ dropped the silverware on the table and hurried to the kitchen.
Sorry, sir. Sorry.
A few minutes later, he saw Florian go down to the cellar to deal with the garbage. JJ waited a short while to make sure he wasn't coming right back up. Then he strode to the soda dispenser and poured four cokes for Maria and her friends. Julie saw what he was doing, but she didn't care. She helped him punch the right keys on the cash register to make it look like the kids had paid. Boney flashed him a thumbs up. The other two guys grinned at him.
You're okay, dude. Be true to your school, right?
That made them all laugh. He could hear Florian lumbering up the stairs. JJ hurried back to the dishwasher. Why did he give them free cokes? To put it to Florian. And, well, maybe he was tired of being ignored. All those hours in school, silent with no one to talk to. Maybe he needed a few friends. Especially Maria. Florian burst into the kitchen and gave JJ a shove.
Hey, worthless, didn't you hear me calling you to come down and help?
Sorry, sir,
JJ replied with his best Texan politeness.
Please don't shove me, sir.
Shove you? I'll smack you upside the head,
the fat blob shouted.
What are you gonna do, sue me?
After work, Maria, Boney, and the other two guys were still at the back of the parking lot. JJ stretched his arms above his head, shook off the steamy air of the kitchen that clung to his skin, his clothes. He headed to their car, his boots kicking up gravel as he walked. Maria sat on the half-rusted hood of the GTO. Boney had an arm around her waist. The other two leaned on the side of the car.
Thanks for the free drinks, man, Boney said.
He reached his free hand out and he and JJ touched knuckles.
No problem, JJ muttered.
He had his eyes on Maria, and she knew it. Her dark eyes flashed.
That's Sammy and Eduardo.
Boney pointed to the other two guys.
They don't go to school anymore.
What do you guys do? JJ asked.
Eduardo shrugged.
Whatever we can get away with.
All four of them laughed. JJ thought about laughing, but it was too late. Maria had a great laugh, he decided. Very open. He liked the way she tossed back her head when she laughed, and her hair swung back on her shoulders.
Well, thanks again, man,
Boney said, patting JJ's shoulder like he was a dog.
We could pay for the cokes, you know. We were just kind of testing you.
JJ took a step back.
Testing me?
Boney nodded.
You know, see if you had any guts.
JJ felt his jaw clench. I've got guts, he said, staring Boney in the eyes. Well, we like to test people, Boney said, squeezing Maria's waist, in case they want to hang with us.
It takes a special dude, Sammy said.
He had a strange, scratchy voice like a cartoon character.
It's a club, you know?
JJ shook his head. A breeze fluttered his flannel shirt. It brought a chill to the back of his neck. A club? The three guys nodded. They had strange smiles on their faces, but their eyes were serious. The killers, Maria said. That's us. Boney turned and showed off the word killers embroidered on the back of his leather jacket. Boney hardened his stare.
Like he's trying to invade my brain or something, JJ thought. If you want to join our club, there's an initiation, Boney said softly.
JJ looked away.
Like what?
Boney didn't have a chance to answer. The kitchen door of the restaurant swung open, sending a flood of light over the parking lot.
You punks better get out of here, Florian screamed.
He filled the doorway, blocking most of the light. JJ saw he was swinging a butcher knife.
I already called the cops. You jerks got maybe a minute to scram out of my parking lot.
JJ ducked behind the side of the car. Did Florian see him? He didn't want to lose his job because of these guys. They were scrambling into the car. A hand grabbed JJ's, Maria. She pulled him into the back seat. The car squealed away, shooting up a shower of gravel. JJ pressed against Maria and ducked his head. He glimpsed Florian's angry scowl and the big blade of the knife swinging in front of him. They roared through town, laughing like lunatics. JJ laughed too. Something broke free in him. For a while, he thought he was flying. Maria's hair brushed his face. She smelled like flowers. They stopped in Fremont Park, across from the high school. Boney killed the engine and the lights. They dove out of the car and sprawled in the dew-wet grass. They were all breathless and giddy.
It's a club, see? Boney said,
as if they hadn't been interrupted.
But I don't know if you're man enough for the initiation.
JJ gulped in the cool, fresh air.
Try me.
The name says it, Eduardo told him.
He pounded the back of Boney's jacket.
Killers! See?
I don't see, JJ said.
That's the initiation, Maria whispered. Her breath tickled his ear. Was she coming on to him?
Guess I have to spell it out, Boney said.
He tore up a handful of grass and let it sprinkle over Maria's legs.
You have to kill someone.
Huh? JJ blinked at him. Boney grinned.
That's all there is to it. We have to know you really want to be with us. Friends for life, see?
Friends for life, Sammy squeaked.
He touched knuckles with Eduardo. JJ shook his head.
You're joking, right?
Eduardo's eyes narrowed. His smile faded.
It's not a joke, man. It's serious. That's the initiation.
JJ let out a long whoosh of air.
Too heavy for me, man.
He started to his feet. Maria tugged him back down.
We all did it, she said.
You telling me you all killed someone to join your club?
It's easy, man, Sammy said. We'll give you the gun and everything.
I don't think so, JJ said.
He realized his chest suddenly felt fluttery. His stomach churned. Maria ran a fingernail down his cheek. It made his whole body tingle.
You can do it, baby, she whispered.
She let her hair brush his cheek again.
We'll be there for you, man, Sammy said. Friends for life. Really?
Here's what you do, Boney said, pulling up more grass, letting it fall in his own lap. Pick someone, right? Pick some jerk you really don't like. Wait till he's alone, make sure no one can see, and
pop. That's all there is to it. It's cake.
Maria squeezed his hand. Her breath tickled his face.
This is the gun, Eduardo said.
He held up a tiny pistol, not much bigger than a cell phone.
Cute, right? But it does the damage.
We've all used it, Sammy said. Pop, that's it. Then you bring it back to us. I used to shoot back in Texas, JJ said.
Why did his voice suddenly sound so tight, so shrill?
But I used real guns, not toys like that.
It'll do the damage, Eduardo repeated. It's loaded for you, man. It's ready.
JJ took the pistol from him and rolled it in his hands. It felt cool and light, like a toy. He pictured Florian.
Pop.
Florian.
Pop.
Florian.
Pop.
Florian.
Pop. Okay, he told him. I'll do it.
Sometimes days fly past like the wind. Here it was, 3 nights later, and JJ, sweating despite the evening cool, found the four killers at the familiar place in the park, deep shadows playing over their expectant faces.
I did it!
The words burst from his mouth in a breathy explosion. He raised the pistol in front of him. It glinted in a narrow beam of moonlight.
Friends for life, right?
He waited for them to react, to congratulate him. Some high fives, some knuckle slaps. So why the silent treatment?
You don't believe me?
JJ shoved the pistol back into his jeans. He leaned against a tree trunk and stared down at them.
I did it. Just like you said. I killed Florian. Shot him in the head.
More silence. Sammy and Eduardo exchanged glances. Maria bit her bottom lip.
I waited for the restaurant to close, JJ said. There was no one around. The parking lot was totally dark. I walked up behind him and shot him in the head. He dropped onto the trunk of his car. Didn't know what hit him.
Maria let out a gasp. She looked away.
You shot him?
Boney said finally. He kept blinking.
You really shot him?
JJ nodded.
But we loaded the gun with blanks, Sammy squeaked. Yeah, tell me about it, JJ said. I took the pistol to a firing range to try it out. All 6 chambers were loaded with blanks, so I bought a box of bullets for it. Guess you guys messed up. No way, Boney said, shaking his head. It was supposed to be blanks, JJ. You weren't supposed to kill anyone. It was just a joke, see? The whole thing was a joke.
JJ's eyes grew wide. He opened his mouth, but no words came out.
It was a joke, dude, Eduardo said. We're not killers. We didn't kill anyone. You're the new kid. You look so desperate. We thought we'd have some fun with you. That's all.
Fun? JJ said in a whisper. Fun? We were messing with you, man, Boney said. We were punking you.
Why did you put real bullets in the gun?
Maria cried.
You weren't supposed to.
She had tears in her eyes, and her chin quivered.
You weren't supposed to kill anyone.
JJ slammed his open hand against the tree trunk.
Oh, please. Oh, please, oh, please. I killed Florian. You told me I had to. Now you tell me it's a joke? But it's not a joke. I killed him. JJ, sit down,
Maria said, tears running down her cheeks. She patted the grass beside her.
We have to talk about this, all of us.
JJ didn't move from the tree trunk.
I'm a murderer, he uttered in a low, trembling voice. A murderer? All because of a joke.
But no one saw you, right?
Sammy asked.
There's no way anyone knows it was you, JJ.
JJ shut his eyes tight, his jaw clenched and unclenched. The others watched him in silence.
No, no one saw me, he said finally. No one knows.
His eyes opened wide.
Except you guys. You're the only ones who know I killed him. You're, like, witnesses or something.
He stepped away from the tree. His whole body stiffened. He jammed his hand into his jeans pocket and brought out the pistol.
Hey, don't get crazy, Boney said.
He jumped up from the grass. He took a step toward JJ.
We're not going to snitch on you, man.
No. You're not going to snitch on me, JJ said softly. He pointed the pistol at Boney.
I won't let you snitch on me.
Maria scrambled to her feet and took a few steps back, eyes wary.
JJ, what are you doing? JJ, please, put it down.
I can't trust you, JJ said. I can't trust any of you. Everything you told me was a lie.
Listen to us. It was supposed to be a joke, Boney said.
I'm a murderer because of you,
JJ repeated, sweat pouring down his forehead. He waved the pistol from Boney to Maria, then down to the other two boys, still hunched tensely in the grass.
A murderer, and you're the only ones who know.
We won't tell, promise, Sammy whined.
JJ, don't, Maria pleaded. Put down the gun. This is crazy.
JJ shook his head.
You understand me, right? You all have to take a bullet. I can't trust you. No way. I can't take a chance.
He aimed the pistol at Boney. His arm tensed. Maria let out a scream. Boney jumped at JJ. He made a wild grab for the gun. JJ swiped it out of Boney's reach and fired. Pop. Boney uttered a groan. His face showed more surprise than pain. He grabbed his stomach, dropped face first to the grass, landed with a soft thud, bounced once, then didn't move. Maria screamed again. The scream ended in a choking gasp. Sammy and Eduardo were on their feet. They had their arms outstretched, partially in surrender. Their faces were twisted in fright.
Who's next?
JJ barked, hoarse, excited. He swung the pistol from one to the other.
Who's next?
Please,
Sammy wailed.
Please!
Don't kill us, Eduardo said. You can trust us. Really, we won't tell anyone.
Maria stared at him silently, her hair falling over her face. She was breathing hard, her chest heaving up and down.
JJ, no.
Her voice, a faint whisper.
Please don't kill us, Sammy said again. We'll be your friends, really.
JJ laughed. He lowered the pistol to his side.
Guess your initiation is over. You made it.
Sammy and Eduardo froze, their eyes bulged, studying JJ. Maria hugged herself tightly, her whole body shuddering.
Initiation?
Sammy finally choked out. JJ nodded.
Yeah, if you want to hang with me, you have to pass my initiation. Boney and I cooked it up.
He spun the pistol on his thumb.
All blanks, nothing but blanks,
he chuckled again.
That got a little tense, huh?
The other three still weren't taking it in. You could almost see the thoughts whirring in their heads.
You punked us? Eduardo said finally.
JJ nodded.
Boney and I. It was kinda his idea.
You didn't kill Florian?
Maria asked, brushing her damp hair off her forehead.
That was a lie?
A lie, JJ said. All a joke. I should be an actor or something, right? I was pretty good.
You're both creeps, Maria shouted. You scared us to death.
Is the initiation over? Eduardo asked. His gaze was on the pistol in JJ's hand.
Yeah, it's over, JJ said. Friends for life, right?
He turned to Boney, still on his stomach on the grass.
Get up, man, we're done. It's a done deal. We punked these dudes. They're still shaking.
Boney didn't move. His hands were tucked beneath him, still gripping his stomach. His face was down in the dirt. JJ gave him a gentle kick in the side.
Come on, Boney. Stop clowning. Get up, man. Let's get out of here.
Boney didn't move. JJ gave him another soft kick with the toe of his boot. Boney's body bounced once, then settled back in place.
Boney? No! No, Boney!
Maria began to scream. JJ dropped to his knees. He grabbed Boney's jacket and flipped him onto his back. Boney's hands fell limply away from his body. A lopsided puddle of dark blood stained the front of his t-shirt.
Boney! No! No, Boney, no!
Boney's eyes gazed blankly at the sky, glassy and unblinking.
What happened?
JJ wailed in a high, shrill voice.
They were blanks! They were all blanks! What happened?
You killed him, Sammy whispered. You shot Boney in the stomach.
A hoarse cry escaped JJ's throat.
No! I couldn't. They were blanks. I know they were. All blanks. Boney and I cooked it up. It was a joke.
Shaking his head, JJ began murmuring to himself in a panic.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Boney dead. I killed Boney. It couldn't happen. It couldn't. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Boney laughed. He blinked a few times and sat up with a grin on his face. He slapped JJ's arm.
Gotcha, dude. That was your initiation.
JJ made a choking sound. The others burst out laughing. Sammy helped Boney to his feet.
Good one, dude.
JJ stood up on shaky legs and narrowed his eyes at them. You were all in on it? From the beginning to end?
You all knew about this? This joke?
Maria wiped tears from her eyes. This time, they were tears of laughter. The others slapped knuckles, tossed their heads back, and howled at the moon.
They were all in on it, dude, Boney told him. Don't you get it? It wasn't their initiation. It was your initiation.
You were punked, JJ, Eduardo cried. You should have seen the look on your face.
They howled some more. Boney hugged Maria around the waist. Sammy and Eduardo did a wild victory dance around the tree. They stopped when they saw someone running toward them. Her hair flew wildly behind her head, and the wind lifted her coat as she stumbled over the wet grass. JJ recognized her immediately.
Julie!
He turned to the others.
The waitress from the restaurant.
He took a few steps toward her. She stopped, hands balled into tense fists. She took a few deep breaths.
Julie, how did you find me? What's up?
You won't believe this, JJ, Julie said, her jaw clenched, eyes wide.
Florian is dead. JJ heard Maria gasp.
Someone shot him in the head, Julie said. They found him in the parking lot. He's dead. Someone killed him.
Her body shuddered. She wrapped her arms around herself.
Boney stepped up to JJ and grabbed him by the shirt collar. This is another joke, right?
His eyes burned into JJ's.
The waitress is in on it, right? This is another initiation joke.
JJ stared back at Boney and smiled.
She's Different Tonight by Heather Graham. Read by Brian Kennedy.
It was Halloween. And what a Halloween. You have to understand, I really, really love Halloween. Such a perfect night was truly rare. The weather was balmy, almost warm, but kissed with a cool breeze. The sky had been crystal clear all day, blue, beautifully blue. And a full moon was about to rise high. It had begun its ascent already. Soon, it would be luminous across a black velvet heaven. I mean, conditions could not have been more perfect. I was dressed like a football player, and it was the perfect costume for me. Honestly. Not to sound too cocky, but I could pull off a jock pretty well. I have the old all-American, farm-raised, blue-eyed, wheaten-haired boy-next-door appeal. I'm pretty tall, 6'3", and I have broad shoulders before adding the pads in. I look like the real deal. All-American, the boy next door. Funny, I was anything but. She happened to be at the service bar just as I was, and since I'd seen her around before, I knew her to be usually shy and mild-mannered. She hung with a crowd that was kind of on the edge, close to, but not quite in with, the elite. The kind always hoping to get in. To get closer to those of us who glowed with the esteem and admiration we received from others. Knowing me would be a notch in her belt. She might be willing to do just about anything for the privilege of saying that we were friends. That she had been with me on Halloween night. Perfect. She was just perfect. I'd been watching her, you see. I'd been contemplating this night. Then, tonight, I'd been watching again, making sure she'd come alone, and was trying to fit in. Tonight, here, I'd been watching again with patience, knowing that I was stalking her, but keeping in mind as well that I needed to find the perfect date to make sure that it was her. The perfect date. Someone who drew little notice. Someone not easily missed. And that was her. Usually. This Halloween, though, it seemed she was playing against type. And it worked for her. No more dowdy little schoolgirl bordering on the nerdy. I was pleasantly surprised by her wickedly erotic appeal. The good girl, all dressed up as if she were bad. Like I said, I'd seen her around before. I stalked her. She always had an armload of books. She usually wore glasses, and they were often slipping down her nose. She was the studious type, a mouse. She kinda hunched forward when she walked, hugging those books of hers. She was a good girl who had left home and gone on to college to do the folks proud. I always thought she must have come off a farm. You'd think nerd, and you'd be right. But I have to admit, though, I hadn't given it much thought before. There had always been something appealing about her. Something delicious in the scent of her. And tonight, well, she had almost pitch-black hair to begin with. Long and straight. And she had the kind of hazel eyes that, with the contact lenses she was wearing, really took on an honest-to-God, snake-like vampire appearance. Very cool. She was wearing a dress that might have done Morticia or Vampira proud. It hugged her body, her every curve. It was as if she were breaking out of some kind of shell, and a better man than I might have been hard-pressed to resist. Who would ever imagine the figure beneath those books? Beneath the gawky stance. And yet she was still, well, the same girl. The same girl who needed me. And, as I already admitted, I had been watching, eyeing her, not quite imagining this, but planning out my moves, you might say. "Hey," I said. "Hey," she replied. Just a little startled that I had talked to her. "Great costume," I said. "You too." "It's just a football thing," I said. Her lips curled in a smile. One would think you might have dressed up like a wolf, she said. Ouch. So she did have a sense of humor. Who'd have thought you'd be the sexy undead? I whispered, my tone very flattering. Oh, well, life can be pretense and dress up, she said. She sounded breathless. In fact, it was great. She almost looked as if she were going to swoon. Need some air? I asked her. She looked at me, surprised once again. I think she might have blushed. Hard to tell in that makeup she was wearing. Fake lashes? Or were those her own, touched with mascara? This was like a fascinating miracle. She was actually stunning tonight. Seductive and clever. Witty. And the way she looked in the tight getup, I hadn't been lying. She was sexy. Sensuous. Hot. She looked downward for a moment, and I knew she was thinking quickly. Maybe her heart was even fluttering. After all, I was one of the most popular kids in school. Okay, I admit, I come from a lot of money. I drive a cool car. But the rest, I'd done on my own. I have a certain amount of charm and pure animal appeal. She was thinking, wow, me. Vince Romero has singled me out of the crowd. Okay, I think I've admitted. I might be a little on the cocky side, too. She looked up at me. Air, she said simply. Yeah, it's getting stuffy in here, I said with a shrug. Shall we slip away? I was my most seductive self. I never quite imagined it like this, that I'd be more than playing, teasing. But I wasn't jarred or thrown off. I was simply enjoying. She stared at me for a moment. I almost smiled. She looked the part, but she wasn't quite there. She was like a deer caught in headlights. She seemed to tremble. Then she nodded, just as if she'd been hypnotized. You did come alone? I asked. Yeah. Such a sweet, throaty note in her voice. And you? You came alone? She asked. Okay, so I usually had a blonde with size quadruple D bazoongas on my arm. I smiled. I've been waiting for you all night. I've watched you, you know. Oh, she breathed, staring at me. Really? Really, I assured her. She flushed with pleasure and looked away for a moment. You know, she admitted, I've been watching you, too. Really? I counted. Really? She said. I guess you didn't notice. People are watching you all the time. I shrugged, but smiled, and placed my hand at the small of her back. We slipped out the back door. I was careful. No one saw us. Hey, my car is right over there. And I have a six-pack and a cooler in the back, I told her. I had noticed that she was carrying a draft beer. She looked up at me. Those eyes of hers were wicked tonight. I'm sure you do, she said. Be prepared, I said. That's my motto. She laughed again. The sound was throaty. Sexy. Wow. It was going to be a good night. Oh, yes. Halloween. A full moon. This little wishy-washy girl suddenly looking like a Cosmo girl. It was all right. And she just had no idea. I felt my blood heating up. This was going to be an easy conquest. Easier than I had imagined. I slipped an arm around her shoulders as we walked to the car. There was a full moon out. Cool. Too cool. You didn't get a full moon on Halloween all that often. We reached the car. Want to drive? I asked her. Sure. She sounded a little breathless. It was such a great pickup. Everyone wanted to drive my car. It was a jazzed-up sports car, an Audi with a few custom alterations. Friends drooled to have my car, and she was getting to drive it. I opened the driver's side door for her, and she slid in. I bounded around to the passenger seat and hopped in beside her. She was running her fingers over the leather seat. Nice, she told me. Thanks, Ivana Romanov, I said, rolling her name pleasantly on my tongue. Pretty name. I'm glad you like it, she told me. I was a little surprised. After the first sign of shock she'd shown, she'd begun gaining some confidence. Maybe she knew that she was nerdy, but now that she was in the proper attire, dynamite-looking and totally alluring without her hunch over her books and down-on-the-nose glasses. Russian? I asked her. She waved a hand in the air. Oh, well, I guess my ancestors were from Eastern Europe somewhere. Vince Romero? Spanish? Italian? I smiled. Eastern European, too, I said. But hey, maybe that means we're meant for each other, huh? Romero, Romanov. Not that far off. Not that far off at all, she said, nodding. There you have it. Two unique, mysterious pasts, I said. Oh, quite. She laughed. And we both have New England accents, she said. Hey, ain't that America? Land of opportunity, I said. The moon was rising. It was getting later. Surely, she must know that she was being seduced, no matter how naive she might have appeared at times. I was cool, after all. I found myself realizing that she was close, that she was wearing a truly exotic perfume. Her body was warm, enticing. She had moved even a little closer to me. No, I had moved a little closer to her. That perfume, wow, it was seductive. I almost felt guilty. Almost. In fact, I was so close to guilt, I could taste it. I tamped down the feeling. It was Halloween. It was perfect. All was going according to plan. I always thought of you as shy, I murmured. I guess I am shy, usually. It's just that, well, I've heard about you. I've watched you, as I told you. And the girls talk, of course, she told me. Was it kind of a come-on? Was I supposed to prove that I was as studly as she had heard? I leaned back, smiling. I let my fingers play in that long, silky black hair of hers. How odd. I mean, it was her hair. The same hair she had every day. Tonight, it was electric. So sleek and shiny, it almost gleamed blue. Where am I going? She asked. Huh? I love driving your car. But where should I drive to? Somewhere quiet, where we can be alone, I said. Too much? Would she bolt? Well, where would you be going if you were driving? She asked. Quiet, where we won't be disturbed, I murmured, as if I were deep in thought. I looked at her. I know, the cemetery. Oh. Does it disturb you? I mean, if so. Oh, no, she said. I like cemeteries. They're full of history. They're full of the dead, I couldn't help but say. Her sweet, teasing smile slipped back to her lips. History, she said stubbornly. Cemeteries are filled with stories and with lives gone by and history. Sure. She drove straight to the cemetery far out on Main Street. She was right about the history. The cemetery went way back, heroes from the Revolutionary War, were buried in it. Hell, there was a grave that belonged to a fellow who had come over on the Mayflower. There was a small church way down on the western side, so I guess that meant it was officially called a graveyard rather than a cemetery. But the church was one of the oldest buildings in our area, and it was small, locked tight at night. In fact, the structure, standing kind of forlorn in the cool moonlight, made it all the better. The point here is that the place was old, spooky, and neat. There was a wall around it, an old stone wall, but the wall was about 2 feet high. I had a blanket and the cooler in the back. It was mild for October. Perfect. Once again, I counted my blessings. All things were perfect. "We're going into the cemetery?" she asked. "Dead people are the safest people in the world, you know. They won't hurt you," I told her. "You just said that you liked cemeteries. They're filled with history and great stories about lives gone past." "That's in the daytime," she said, shaking her head. But she was just watching me. She wasn't really protesting. "Have you ever been in a cemetery at night?" I asked. "Maybe," she said coyly. "Maybe." Oh, she was lying. She shivered slightly. "We can go somewhere else. I mean, believe it or not, I just kind of love the peace around here. And the quiet," I said. I was surprised. I sounded a little lame. She looked at me and smiled slowly. "Well, I will be with you." "You are certainly safe with the folks in a cemetery," I said. "Graveyard, whatever." Of course, in my mind, I was being totally honest. None of the folks in their graves would do her any harm. So we gathered up the cooler and the blanket, exited the car, and hopped over the wall. I helped her, of course, setting my hands around her to lift her over the wall, realizing as I did so just how perfect a little figure she had. Tiny waist, and flaring curves above and below. I'd have never imagined that she was so finely honed, that she obviously worked out, that she was such a piece of physical perfection. That word again. Perfect. Not a bad night's work. We found a place beneath a huge old oak and spread out the blanket. She sat with me and I noticed her drink was gone. I popped the tab on a dark Irish beer and offered it to her. She drank, watching me, those snake-like vampire eyes getting a golden glow in them that was truly exciting. I sipped my beer. I looked to the sky. And then I kissed her. It was great. She was hesitant, a little shy still, despite her demeanor. I pressed her downward, savoring the feel of her heat and the shivering within her. Then it started. The transformation. I felt it tear and burn through me. And with Ivana in my arms, the rip in my muscles, the fire in my blood, and the savage hunger in my heart were just about orgasmic. Soon, she would scream. She would see the shoulder pads fall away, the football breeches stretch and tear, and she would know the true concept of a guy who is an animal. I felt the first magnificent howl that the moon was eliciting form in my throat. Yes, I was transforming. The all-American boy into the all-American werewolf. I did have to be careful. I was living in the modern world, of course, here in America. I actually wanted to get my college degree and enter the truly savage arena of corporate law. So I did date, and I was a stud. And I didn't rip and tear apart all those women who befriended me. But, hell, it was Halloween, and the Halloween with a full moon. I'd been extremely watchful that night. I'd caught her at the service bar, and I knew that we'd exited without anyone seeing us. I looked down. I looked down, longing for that look in her eyes, that look that meant terror and knowledge. But, usually, it had something a little more, something that told me a woman knew of her own death, and yet her sexuality was at such a heightened peak that she would die in the throes of an ecstatic excitement. And the look in her eyes would be ecstasy in and of itself for me. This isn't boasting. This isn't arrogance or conceit. It is what I am, and what the beast within is capable of creating. And the sensation that would follow for me, ah, it would be wondrous. Not to mention the soul-shattering wonder of the kill. But her eyes weren't full of terror or excitement. She was staring at me with amusement. Total amusement. And she started to laugh. I had never known that laughter would ruin everything, that it would stop the transformation. "Don't you know what I am? Don't you see?" I demanded. To my astonishment, she pushed at my chest with a stunning power. I halfway fell back. I stared at her, thinking that my fury would start the transformation all over again. But she leaped atop me, and her laughter tore from her like a banshee's cackle in the night. And to my amazement, I discovered that I was pinned beneath her. Pinned! Me! "Don't you know what I am? Can't you see?" she demanded with a throaty chuckle. "You are in costume tonight, and I, finally, am not. Oh, the poor little bookworm, the shy girl, who should fall all over herself for a chance to be with the hot guy. Oh, what a silly, silly, egoist of a dumb animal you are." I opened my mouth to speak, but no words came. Above me, I saw the moon, the beautiful full moon. That was when she leaned forward and bit me, sank her fangs into my flesh and began to slurp. And beneath that beautiful full moon, I heard the horrid sucking sound she made. And I felt my blood, my life, my magnificent life being drained away. It was Halloween. And what a Halloween. Not quite so perfect.
Suckers by Suzanne Wayne. Read by Fred Berman.
It wasn't that I didn't want to ever visit the tiny planet of Lectis. I just didn't want to live there. I mean, who wants to move at the end of his junior year of high school?